aggressive action to avoid a recession. Is 0.5% enough? What will the government do with $5.6 trillion of surplus money? It is your money, and there are many choices. The terrorist attack on Pan Am 103. After a dozen years, they found a man guilty. And we'll take a closer look tonight at why one sick man never made it out of prison.
Don't defuse me! Don't defuse me!
The prison as a warehouse for the mentally ill.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings.
Good evening, everyone. The Federal Reserve has done it again, lowered interest rates by 0.5% for the second time in a month. Done again what it thinks it can do at the moment to give the economy a jolt. The Fed sees a weakness in the economy now, and it worries about it continuing. With us here in the newsroom is ABC's Betsy Stark, who's been taking a look at the specifics of why the Fed acted, who might be helped, and when.
Peter, this rate cut was telegraphed by Mr. Greenspan. It was widely expected by the markets. But still, when the Fed cuts interest rates a whole point in a single month, something it hasn't done since the last recession a decade ago, it's a very big deal. The Federal Reserve gave a litany of reasons for today's big rate cut. Consumers and businesses worried about the future. High energy costs cutting into spending. Weak retail sales. Manufacturing production way down. In a written statement, the Fed concluded, these circumstances have called for a rapid and forceful response.
The Fed is afraid that a decline in confidence by individuals and by businesses could set in motion a sequence of events that could produce a recession, so they're trying to get ahead of that with very aggressive rate cuts.
Rate cuts designed both to restore confidence and reduce the cost of borrowing money, making everything from home mortgages to new cars to what you charge on your credit card a little cheaper.
It shows a sense of real urgency here. The Fed is going to ease credit conditions and lower interest rates as much as it needs to counter this dramatic slowing in the economy.
The slowdown has been dramatic. The government released figures today showing the economy slowed to a crawl at the end of last year, gross domestic product at just 1.4%. A year ago, it was literally on fire, GDP at 8.3%. The financial markets, which had anticipated today's news, bounced up and down on news of the Fed's action. But by day's end, traders had already turned their focus to what happens next. No one knows for sure how long it will take for these January rate cuts to kick in or how well they will work. The next Fed meeting is in March, and the expectation now, Peter, is that they will cut interest rates once again.
So layman's question, if they cut them again next month, why not cut them by another 0.5% this month?
Well, for one thing, if you had a rate cut of 1% in a single move, it would panic the markets. What does Mr. Greenspan know that we don't know? And for another, he's an incrementalist. He likes to dose out a little medicine, see how it works, and then see if he needs to dose out some more.
Many thanks, Betsy Stark. Covering this for us today on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up a little more than 6 points to close at 10,887. On the NASDAQ, stocks were down more than 6 points. Now, before we leave money, we learn today the latest projected size of the federal budget surplus. Money's pouring into the federal coffers. The Congressional Budget Office projected today that the budget surplus for the next 10 years will be $5.6 trillion. That's $1 trillion higher than the last estimate over the summer. ABC's Terry Moran joins us now from the White House, where one gathers a Republican president was delighted.
He certainly was, Peter, although they like to use the word pleased around here. It's more restrained. The White House was very pleased that the projected surplus has gone up by $1 trillion because officials sense that it accelerates the political momentum in favor of the president's tax cut. The president himself, in a meeting with congressional leaders earlier, said as much. He also said that the big new numbers mean that the country can pay down its debt and afford new spending initiatives. In short, we can have it all.
But, Terry, there's always a debate as to whether or not these are accurate projections.
And it's a crucial debate. The Congressional Budget Office has only been making 10-year projections for less than a decade, so there's no track record. They have been making projections for 5 years, and on average, they're off about 3.1% of gross domestic product after 5 years. That means that they admit in today's report that by 2006, the government could be running a $543 billion surplus, or a new deficit of $56 billion.
Thanks very much, Terry Murnau at the White House. A lot of debate now about what to do with the money that is in the surplus. We go now to the other major news of the day. 12 years after Pan Am 103 was destroyed over Scotland, a man has been found guilty of murdering the 270 passengers and crew. He is a Libyan intelligence agent. And President Bush said today the U.S. will keep pressuring the Libyan government to take full responsibility and compensate the families. It has been an agonizing passage for the families from the disaster to this courtroom. One reporter said today that 12 years of anticipation hung in the air as the verdict was read. ABC Sheila McVicker was there.
The families had waited so long for this. Dozens of relatives had come here.
This is a crime that we will not forget, and that it still has to be fully accounted for.
Other families and friends watch by closed circuit around the world.
After waiting 12 years, it was some level of justice. Obviously, you could never bring your kid back.
Inside the court, there was a loud gasp as the Libyan intelligence agent Al-Megrahi was found guilty. Another is Libyan Airlines employee Lamine Fima was set free. For the families, there was surprise and relief. Some had feared both defendants might get off.
We have a decision against a man who worked in the security services of the Libyan government. There is no clearer statement than this was state-sponsored terrorism.
And over today, the family members wanted to know, will the U.S. now pursue Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi?
I am an American mother with a broken heart, and he is a monster with oil. Now, who do you think is going to win?
It's not the end. Now we go after Gaddafi. Gaddafi was the godfather. These guys were the hitmen.
The families will take Libya to civil court in New York. But investigators who spent 12 years building this case now say there is little chance of other criminal convictions.
As it stands right now, there is no more evidence that's going to lead us up the chain of command.
There is also no evidence the U.S. government will do anything more than keep the current sanctions in place. Tonight, the Libyan government said sanctions should be lifted and this verdict should be the end of the story. Sheila McVicker, ABC News, Camp Zeist, the Netherlands.
Thank you, Sheila. Now to death by nature. In western India, they are still finding survivors from Friday's earthquake, but very few, and the official death toll is now 12,000. The crisis has changed in some way to helping survivors, thousands of whom are homeless, many on the move, and some of whom are getting quite desperately ill from contaminated water. The Food and Drug Administration has approved human testing for a new artificial heart. This is a different device from the cumbersome artificial hearts that have never been a real success. And if it works, it could offer new life to thousands of Americans with heart disease. Here's ABC's John Yang. This is Technology on the Cutting Edge.
This is the first artificial heart to fit entirely inside a person's chest, intended to be a permanent replacement for a heart damaged beyond repair. It is programmed to work like a human heart.
When the patient gets up and walks, it'll speed up and start beating faster. When the patient is sleeping, it will slow down and pump at a slower rate.
It is a giant leap from the first artificial heart implanted nearly two decades ago, driven by a 375-pound external pump. But this one, called the AbiaCor, has a tiny pump, powered for the first time by an internal battery, recharged through the skin. The charge lasts 30 minutes. A small external battery lasts several hours.
If it fulfills its promise, people will be able to engage in full exercise and activities and will not be tethered down by an external machine that does the pumping.
It has been tested in animals and will soon be implanted in humans. It will be about as expensive as open heart surgery, but far cheaper than a transplant.
A shortage of donor hearts means that only about 2,000 transplants are performed each year. But as many as 100,000 Americans who need new hearts die each year. Lives that could be saved with a device like the AbiaCor. John Yang, ABC News, Washington.
Lives here, lives elsewhere, if it works. When we come back, the teenager accused of planning a massacre. And tonight, we'll also take a closer look at suicide behind bars, the man who was punished because he was ill.
This is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings, brought to you by Bayer Aspirin.
Try it both ways.
Most dancers are afraid of losing a step. After I had my stroke, I was afraid I'd never dance again. Now I take Bayer Aspirin every day, like my doctor said, to help prevent another stroke.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen.
And when my body is sore, I take extra strength Bayer. It's that strong. It's great to be back.
Bayer, take it for pain, take it for life.
Facts of Life by Lysol. Fact, a child who shares nothing else will share the cold bug. Fact, Lysol kills 99.9% of germs in seconds, and it's the best because it's the brand pediatricians trust most in their own homes. Life demands Lysol. That's a fact.
Heartburn, Harry.
Yeah.
Guess it's time to break out the Tums.
I thought I'd try this new stuff, Pepcid Complete.
Well, what was it before?
Incomplete. Who knows? But they added an antacid, so they call it complete.
Well, if you need an antacid, Harry, you want the Tums.
That's because dose for dose, Tums Ultra neutralizes twice as much acid as Pepcid Complete's an acid. Yet the Pepcid costs almost four times as much as the Tums.
So, Harry, did the Tums do it?
Completely. Tums.
Need extra cash? Don't charge it on your credit cards. Get a second mortgage with no closing costs from Ditech.com. With a second mortgage, you can consolidate all your existing high interest debts, get the cash you need for any purpose, and end up with one lower monthly payment. A second mortgage with no closing costs is smart money from Ditech.com. Log on now for fast online approval or call us at 1-800-71-FIXED.
When it comes to certain questions, answers aren't always clear. Talking to my doctor about Primpro helped.
Ask your doctor about Primpro.
I'm glad I did.
For the record, on Capitol Hill today, the full Senate debated the nomination of John Ashcroft to be Attorney General. There were strong opinions for him and strong opinions against him. The Senate will probably vote tomorrow and is expected to confirm him. In California today, an enormous number of people are grateful to a teenage student. Because of her, police have headed off what appears to be a plot to plant bombs on a college campus. A suspect is now in custody, but the police believe it was very close. Here's ABC's David Wright.
18-year-old Kelly Bennett was a drugstore photo clerk yesterday. Today, she's a hero.
I mean, it's something that I would never have guessed would happen to me in a million years, but I'm just really glad that those people did not die.
Bennett noticed something strange about some photos she was processing.
There was pipe bombs with nails taped to them. There were pictures of his wall that had guns, pictures of guns.
And there were photos showing 19-year-old Al de Guzman posing with his weapons.
There was no doubt at all. I was 100% positive that this guy was weird and I was gonna call the police.
When de Guzman came here to collect his photos, the police were already waiting to arrest him.
A search of de Guzman's home turned up an arsenal of homemade explosives and illegal firearms. Police also found a taped apology message, along with plans for a Columbine-style attack on nearby De Anza Community College, set to begin at lunchtime yesterday in the school cafeteria.
Could a building have been leveled? Possibly. Could an area have been saturated with these pipe bombs? Absolutely.
Police believe de Guzman was acting alone, but they don't yet know why he might have been planning such a thing. They did find plenty of troubling material on his website, including a tribute to the killers at Columbine High School in Colorado.
This website basically is omnidirectional, as I think is one of the words that he used. The hates to everybody, anybody. There's no specific group identified.
At De Anza College today, relief and concern.
It freaks me out, man. You never expect it to happen in your own neighborhood, you know, or the school you attend.
A community is grateful Kelly Bennett acted as quickly as she did. David Wright, ABC News, San Jose, California.
On the subject of security, we learned today that every single person who attended the Super Bowl, that's who actually attended the game, had their picture secretly taken as they went in, 75,000 people. And the security company that handled the event used computers to compare the pictures immediately with certain wanted terrorists and other criminals, including con artists. No one was arrested. When we come back, a psychiatrist calls it a house of horrors. We'll take a closer look at the prisons and the mentally ill.
Heartburn Hotel. If you suffer persistent heartburn 2 days a week or more, despite diet change and treatment, it may be acid reflux disease. Prescription Prevacid can mean 24-hour relief from acid reflux disease. Prevacid turns off tiny pumps that produce acid. It has a low occurrence of side effects, such as diarrhea, abdominal pain, and nausea. Ask your doctor if Prevacid is right for you.
So leave your heartburn behind, yeah!
What is it, Chuck?
You mean what was it?
No nibbling.
Don't worry.
Is she kidding?
Now she's cooking.
Whiska's homestyle favorites taste like food you'd make if you could. Four new meals, each with all that slow-cooked goodness, sealed in the FlavorLock pouch.
Hi, ready for dinner?
Trust me, he's not.
Should we save him some?
Whiska's homestyle favorites, what cats want.
See how beautiful 60 can look. See how invisible osteoporosis can be? If you're over 60, there's a nearly 1 in 2 chance you have it. So ask your doctor about a bone density test and treatments that can help.
I'm ready. Ready as anybody can be. I'm ready. Ready as anybody can be. Yeah.
Are you ready to ask your doctor about Viagra? Get ready.
Right.
Ask your doctor if a free sample of Viagra is right for you.
Well, I'm ready for you. I hope you're ready for me.
Celebrate, celebrate.
Ask your doctor if Celebrex is right for you.
Celebrate, celebrate.
America's comeback kid. She's cleaned up her life. Now she's cleaning up on the court. Tomorrow, tennis champ Jennifer Capriati on Good Morning America.
We're going to take a closer look tonight and tomorrow, too, because it is that bad, at a national tragedy. Many Americans would argue it is a national disgrace. What happens to the mentally ill in many American prisons and why they're in prison in the first place? Remember this, 16% of the U.S. prison population is mentally ill. That is more than 283,000 men and women who are sick and behind bars. And we begin with one story because it shouldn't have happened, and it likely will again. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
Felix George is being removed from his prison cell in the throes of a full psychotic breakdown. Less than 72 hours later, he would commit suicide. This is the story of how he got here. In 1992, at age 22, George was arrested for holding up a woman with a toy gun. He was sent to prison for 3 to 6 years. Despite a history of psychiatric hospitalizations dating back to his childhood, it took 7 months before prison officials realized the full extent of George's mental illness. After a psychotic episode in which he barricaded himself in his cell and said his mother was calling him, George was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia and sent to the Central New York Psychiatric Center. After treatment, the doctor sent George back to Auburn State Prison with a warning to officials there that he could have the potential for imminent danger to himself.
At Auburn, the first day he's back, he's made to stand trial for having had a psychotic episode before he left, and he's punished for it.
George was found guilty of creating a disturbance and refusing a direct order and sent to solitary confinement. In the hole, George soon began refusing his medications, as paranoid schizophrenics often do.
You have to encourage them and give them the therapy they need in order to take the medication, otherwise they won't.
And despite the fact that the doctors had recommended continual daily counseling to encourage him to accept the drugs, George never got such counseling.
Without that, he was lost. He was a dead man.
After about 3 months without his medication, George tried to kill himself by swallowing 150 Tylenol pills. When he got back from the hospital, he was once again punished, found guilty of self-inflicted bodily harm, and he was sent back to the hole. 1 month after that, he was transferred to the Clinton Correctional Facility, but his medical file evidently got lost in the shuffle. And when the prison psychologist at Clinton evaluated George, she decided he didn't require any services.
Stand up, George.
Without medication, he once again deteriorated. These are prison guards removing George from his cell. They're beating his hands to get him to let go of the bars. George had barricaded himself inside. He had started a fire, cut himself, soiled himself, and was screaming at imaginary voices.
My name is Felix George. You want to kill me?
Guards were ordered to extract him to take him in for psychological treatment. They made this videotape because they're required to document every forcible removal of an inmate. As they subdued him, George cried for help.
They still want to kill me.
George was seen by a doctor and put under observation.
They put him in what's ironically called the observation unit, where in the end he was left unobserved for 50 minutes, though he was on a suicide watch.
In those 50 minutes, George was supposed to be checked every 15. He was not. When the guard finally did check, George was dead. He had stuffed wet toilet paper up his nose and down his throat.
New York State could not be clearer in sending us the message. They don't value these lives. These lives are not valued.
Officer Herbert Perry, who was supposed to be watching Felix George the night he died, was initially fined and suspended. But within weeks, he was reinstated. At the end of the year, he received an excellent performance evaluation. Dan Harris, ABC News, New York.
Just to say it again, the guards you saw removing George from his cell were actually following procedure, and they were not charged with excessive force. No one from New York State would talk to us for this report, but they have agreed to settle a lawsuit brought by Mr. George's family for $250,000. We'll go at this again tomorrow. When we come back this evening, now it is the former president's real estate that is riling people.
Ziploc containers, test number 68.
Who's this?
Michael.
You bring two dishes to a party.
You know what? These are for you.
Which one do you leave behind?
Thank you.
Ziploc, all you ever wanted in a container.
You know how uncomfortable you feel when you're constipated. So why take a laxative with stimulants that could cause abdominal discomfort and cramps? You need Philips Milk of Magnesia. All these overnight laxatives contain stimulants. This one even says on the label, it can cause abdominal discomfort, faintness, and cramps. But Philips is different. It doesn't contain stimulants, so you should feel more comfortable. Philips, the comfortable way.
Winter means flakes. We're not talking snow, we're talking winter dandruff. The colder it gets, the worse dandruff gets. New Neutrogena T-Gel Intensive Anti-Flake Shampoo fights dandruff three ways. Stop winter dandruff. Neutrogena T-Gel. It works.
I've always been a fighter, and I don't like to lose. So when I found out I could lose up to 25% of my bone due to menopause, you bet I was going to fight back. I had a strong ally who prescribed Actonel, our weapon.
Actonel is a non-hormonal prescription medicine for postmenopausal women at risk for osteoporosis. Actonel can reverse bone loss and helps your bones become more fracture resistant. Only Actonel is proven to reduce spinal fractures in the very first year. You should not take Actonel if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or cannot sit or stand for 30 minutes. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Actonel and tell your doctor if you experience difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. Find out if you're at risk for osteoporosis. Then ask your doctor if Actonel is right for you.
By this time next year, you can have more fracture-resistant bones. Act now with Actonel.
Facts of Life by Lysol. Fact, mention scrubbing the toilet and you always get the same reaction. Fact, new Lysol Foam Power cleans your toilet without brushing. And it's from Lysol, the number one brand of toilet cleaners. Life demands Lysol. That's a fact.
I may look young, but I still suffer from hot flashes. I discovered a natural way to deal with it. Healthy Woman from the makers of Monistat. Healthy Woman's a soy menopause supplement that helps relieve hot flashes and night sweats. Healthy Woman.
Come on, let's go.
Sweetie, I'm sorry. I can't stand the line. We're going to miss our flight. Well, I wish you could go too.
Yes, I know how much you love Walt Disney World, but we can't take you with us this time.
Well, for one thing, I don't think your wife and children would appreciate it.
Okay.
If you think a Walt Disney World vacation isn't the same without the kids, you're absolutely right.
call 1-407-W-DISNEY and make the dream come true.
Raising a family isn't easy.
Some teenagers beat him up because he wouldn't smoke drugs with them.
Raising a family of superstars is almost impossible.
Donnie!
The story of a family struggling to stay together.
If Meryl wants to leave, I can't stop him. You can hold the brothers together or not.
Inside the Osmonds, Monday 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Find it this evening, A Room with a View. Former President Clinton, as we know, did not leave the White House quietly, and he's always going to attract attention. Mr. Clinton has now decided where he will work, here in New York City, at the taxpayers' expense. And it is a worthy successor to the Oval Office. Here's ABC's Aaron Brown.
It is, by any measure, a spectacular piece of real estate in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. From the 56th floor, there are views of Central Park out one side, the Hudson River the other. Maybe not fit for a king, but suitable. Prime real estate in the most expensive market in the country.
This is the hottest market we've ever had in history in terms of space for lease for offices in New York City.
At 8,300 square feet, the proposed Clinton office is a little bigger than the infield at Yankee Stadium. And at roughly $650,000 a year, more expensive than the office rents paid for all the other living ex-presidents combined.
We appropriated the money that they asked for. Now they're saying, oh, we're actually wanting three times that amount, but we're not even going to bother to come back to you to ask for it.
We thought Ronald Reagan's office rental was outrageous at $285,000. Now Bill Clinton would literally double that amount. Where is this going to end?
Mr. Clinton's spokesman told ABC News today that even with the office lease, the transition will come in on budget because they will trim other costs. He also suggested criticism of the lease, like the criticism of the gifts the Clintons accepted or their new homes, is in effect just more Clinton bashing. Republicans said much the same thing when President Reagan was criticized for accepting a $2.5 million home from California friends and made $2 million for a pair of brief speeches in Japan just after leaving office. It is part of the post-presidential experience these days, and by settling on a huge office in a lavish building, in a city New Yorkers at least believe is the center of the universe, Bill Clinton has left himself open again. Aaron Brown, ABC News, New York.
That is our report on World News Tonight. On Nightline later on, they're going to deal with the guilty verdict in the Lockerbie trial. And what does the U.S. do now about Muammar Gaddafi? I'm Peter Jennings. We hope you have a good evening and that we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
This has been a presentation of ABC News. More Americans get their news from ABC News than from any other source.
It started with a little crime.
Something is missing from my room.
Now everyone's doing something less than legal.
You actually opened her briefcase?
It's an episode filled with nothing but...
guilt!
Golden Globe winner Cela Ward, and all new Once and Again tonight on ABC.
Action News, tomorrow starting at 5 a.m.
The Pennsylvania Lottery.
Good evening. It's time for the live lottery drawings for Wednesday, January 31st, 2001. First, the daily number. Draw the first digit, please. 3, the second digit. 6, and the third digit. 9. Tonight's witness is Evelyn Panda. And now, Big 4. Draw the first digit, please. 1, the second digit. 0, the third digit, 4, and the fourth digit.